genie pouring from the sky. Let's get rich. What? The GK finds a sugar dime. Can't quit. What? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit. What? 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 Introducing Phantom of the Dark.
You are tuning into the For Profit Podcast. I am your host. I am Haven B. Here with my main man, JD, once again, actually in his home.
Very rare that happens, but yes, I am. I'm home. Still recovering from my last 2 weeks, which were pretty wild. So, yeah, I'm a little ashamed of myself. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I'm home. I'm ready to rock and roll. It should be a fun tournament this week. I'm ready to get down to it. Big field, good field, Shadow Creek. So got a lot of good things going on.
How, let's see here. Last week, how much golf did you watch last week?
I watched the end of it Sunday night or Sunday evening. So I saw the playoff. I saw the finishing stretch. I saw fucking that wild ass up and down from Laird, man. That was some fucking crazy shit, dude. He was in absolute jail. That was a wonderful up and down. I thought he was fucked, but yeah, right. it was a fun ending of the tournament. I'm glad I didn't watch any of the previous 3 days. That's for sure. And then, yeah, once football was over, I just kind of hopped over there and watched the end.
All right, let's get to it.
Where we were wrong.
All right, where were you wrong?
I got absolutely fucking destroyed last week, so I was wrong everywhere.
Everywhere.
I don't think. Yeah, I mean, Casey beat Fowler, so that helped. But I haven't even looked back on it. Obviously, Wolf lost. Now Davis lost. Sink beat Hadwin, right?
Yeah.
And then I didn't get destroyed. I didn't do well, but I didn't get destroyed. It wasn't great. It was one of my worst full tournament head-to-head weeks. But the Casey over Fowler thing helps, that's for sure.
I didn't go. I'm trying to think what exactly. I think I maybe had two outrights. I didn't really have a lot of interest in head-to-heads last week.
Okay.
So I went really light. I didn't see a whole bunch of edges. It was just what I've been trying to focus on lately. It's just going on like, you know what? This guy should not. This is a. I'm focusing on this is a. Horrible price. That's what I want to do when I start betting. So that's what I'll, especially during the slow season. I don't know everybody's focus right now. So I've been going kind of light. So let's get to the.
Well, we were right.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I did well in the day one, 3 balls. That's about it. I had a rough one. I shouldn't have had a rough week. I did go 0-5 on Sunday in head to heads. So I need to reevaluate my head to head
model.
I'm just so fucking bad at them. I don't know how I'm so bad. I feel like it's variance, but like, I mean, it's the only thing I'm bad at. And I just don't understand why. It's crazy. Like 3 balls, which is the same fucking logic. I'm up like over 40 units on the year. So it's like I just don't get what is going on with my head to heads, but
it may be the price that you're yielding when you win a 3 ball rather than a head to head.
Oh no doubt. I mean 3 balls. I'm 99. I'm 78 and 96, but they're all. Oh, I'm sorry. No, 3 balls. I am 78 and 64 on the year, but they're all at fucking giant plus prices. So it's like,
see what I'm saying?
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's why it matters.
I get it. And so I went. So I've kind of, you know, I've noticed that as well. So what I have kind of focused more on are just like dogs that shouldn't be dogs. And again, it could be variance just because, you know, one round of golf is just, it's difficult to really, you know, you have to have a huge sample size if you have an edge there. But I've been bad this year, but you know, I'm going to keep it going. I'm 78, 96. I'm down 20 units in head to heads, which isn't ideal, obviously. So,
okay.
But it is. What are you going to do?
Interesting. Bryson gave us a little blue balls again.
Yeah, played well. And then kind of we should like
got a little fecal matter on there, huh?
Yeah, that was bad. He's here, right? No, I wonder why he's not playing this week. That's strange.
I don't think he's here this week.
No, he's not. I was curious as to why he's not here. But yeah, that was interesting. I mean, you know, he's doing his thing. He's fucking dominant off the tee, and I don't think it's going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna do what he's gonna do.
Yeah. All right, so do you want to move on to next week or this week?
I should say on the Shadow Creek.
All right, moving on to beautiful Shadow Creek golf course, right behind the Wynn, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's up in it's no. That you're thinking of something else. That's not where it's at.
Really?
It's up north. It's like north Las Vegas.
Really? I could have swore. That Shadow Creek is on the strip.
Nah, that golf course is done. I know which one you're talking about, but no, that's not the one.
It's okay.
The That's okay.
No. All right, par 72, 7,500 yards, bent grass greens. Corollary courses are Muirfield Village and King Trace.
I don't know where the, what's King Trace?
Barbasol Championship. I think that's in like Alabama or something.
Oh, okay. Where was all?
Shadow Creek is playing just under 7,500 yards, a bit shorter due to elevation change. Four par fives, three of which measure 581, one measuring 622. Like, boom.
That's a big boy.
Par threes fall in line. Par five is.
Those three par fives are easy. Like, they're going to get fucking birdied every time.
Okay. Three par threes measure over 200 yards at 154 yards. These will be playing shorter.
Yep.
So you're seeing like 3 wood, 5 wood off the tee. And the par fours are going to be all over the place. From 400 to 450 down to five measuring 450 to 510 and then one under 400 yards, 324. So you got a drivable par four also.
Cool. I love those. Those are fun.
I'm going to go with ball striking approach. I'm going to put a little bit of putting and a little bit around the green. So obviously pretty much the same thing. I'm just going to, lately my model has been leaning towards bogey avoidance because of all the majors that we've had.
Yeah.
So I've kind of lessened that. Any differences on yours?
You know, I think these greens have been kind of compared to Augusta and just harder greens. Like I think they are pretty contoured and they're tiered. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to factor in, I'm going to subjectively factor in putting. I'm not going to actually put it in my model, but I'm just going to steer away from guys who haven't shown the ability to make putts. Whereas, you know, in some of these like TPC courses we've seen recently where the greens are flat, you can get a guy who's not a great putter, but because the greens are easy, they can still be successful. I think you're going to need to be able to roll it a little bit to especially win here. But even in my head to heads, I'm going to try my hardest not to back any head to head guys who suck at putting. And so, but again, I'm not going to put that in my model because I don't want the putting stats to really weigh down what's really important, which is ball striking. I'm just going to subjectively, I know who's a good putter. You know who's a good putter. We all know who's a good putter and who's bad. So I'm going to factor that in as I analyze mostly the head-to-heads. The outright guys, I have two strategies here, but I'm pretty sure I know what I'm going to do head-to-head-wise, or excuse me, outright-wise.
All right, let's go ahead and get there.
Top of the board. Golfers, top of the board.
All right, top of the board.
Boom.
This is our, let's see, is this going to be, are you going to be betting a lot of head-to-heads? Same thing?
So, important to note, red alert, forgot to mention, 78-man field, small field, invitational status. This is a no-cut event, guys.
Very good. It's like a WGC almost.
This is a WGC, basically. I mean, you have most of the same guys who are playing those WGCs. This is the largest purse from now until the end of the year, other than the Masters, obviously. So that's why, yeah. So these guys are playing for millions of dollars. And so that's why you have a good field. But more importantly, for me, and I say this every single week, every single time I come up with fucking events, I say this shit, and I always end up with like fucking 32 head-to-heads anyways, but I never do well on head-to-heads and no-cut events.
Don't do it.
Again, I it's kind of the same way with the round-by-round head-to-heads. Could it be variance? Of course, because full tournament head-to-heads this year have been fucking spectacular, but at the same time, because of no-cut, and this is the reasoning why, if you would think more rounds would give you a better opportunity to recognize your edge. And that's my thought process in these and why I usually do go pretty hard at them. The flip side of that is when you have so many elite golfers with their ceilings are super fucking high and you give those guys four rounds to do whatever they want to do, the chances of them going bonkers, even if they're, you know, they could go fucking 74, 63, 72, 70, and then that 63 kind of fucks you against.
They got all four rounds though, my friend.
So you get four rounds.
And if I
get
stuck,
you guys are, they could just go fucking nuclear. So I normally tell myself I'm going to, go light. I do have two unit plays already. So I do have two plays that are rather large.
What?
Oh, yeah. But that's important to note when it comes to looking at the head-to-heads. But, you know, outright-wise, it doesn't really matter. So let's go talk about the outrights. But we do have head-to-heads already. So that's kind of the nice thing about doing it on Tuesday morning.
All right. I'm listening. Where are you starting?
Okay. Two schools of thought this week, probably going with the latter. So the first school of thought is There's a lot of good value guys. I have a lot of edges on guys from like 30 to 50, but I don't necessarily trust my numbers on those just because we haven't seen them a whole lot. The guys have new equipment that they're working with, right? Cause all the fall stuff just came out. And the reality is we're a month away from Augusta. We're a month away from us being in Vegas. So any listeners, you guys want to come hang out with us on Thursday, Friday in the sports books, drink some claws, gamble, watch a little golf. We'll be there. So we welcome everyone to come down. We'll let you guys know where we're going to be exactly. But these guys are, this could be viewed as like a warm-up tournament for Augusta, right? So anytime you have these lead-up events, especially to an event that big, I'm curious as to how many guys are actually doing what they would be doing to try and win this golf tournament, or how many are tinkering with shit to get themselves peaking for a month from now, the real major, the Augusta, the biggest golf tournament of the year. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are this is basically a WGC. Again, I'm just going light on this tournament. I do think that the fact that I'm looking at the names here, and they're awesome premium names, and I like the fact that these guys want to stay in shape, stay in game form ready, you know, getting ready for Augusta. I'm kind of excited to see how DJ is going to act here. Like, doesn't he have a pretty good track record in these limited field events?
Yeah, he fucking loves these things. Him and Xander are like the best limited field event guys in the world.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a reason why this guy is the guy. So, first up top, DJ Ram, Thomas McElroy, Xander Wolf. I think DJ is, well, I mean, there's Ram, but have we seen Ram win a birdie fest? What do you think the score is going to be?
I'm going to say 18 under, 18 to 20.
I haven't seen Ram go off in birdie fest except in Europe.
Didn't he win one of the desert tournaments? No, he didn't.
No, he was there. That was the first tournament that he played really well in.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. No, he won Torrey and Memorial. Those are both. No, he's not a birdie fest guy. Cause he can't hit his irons well enough.
He won. What's McCall it too? No, he didn't. I was thinking that he won at Atlanta.
Mm-mm, no. You know, he has Memorial, and then he has he has a birdie fest. He has the fake hero win, which isn't a real golf tournament.
Okay. All right. So who you grabbing up tap?
So I actually think I'm going to bet four guys this week only.
Okay.
I'm gonna bet two guys at the top of the market, and I'm going to bet two guys who I have the most value on the bottom, and I think I'm going to call it good. I'm betting DJ.
I think so. I think that's a good play.
And I don't have a ton of value on his number. I make him 8-1. So we're getting 9.5, so it's a little bit of an edge. But let's just go over DJ real quick. This motherfucker, PGA second. Second, first, sixth. Okay.
He's up there.
12 strokes on approach at the Northern Trust. Gained 6 strokes on approach at the BMW. Gained 7.3 strokes on approach at the U.S. Open. Obviously one of the best off the tee ever created. And here's the thing about Dustin Johnson that I love, man. This dude has learned how to putt, bro. Gained 7 strokes putting at the PGA and 5.5 at the Northern Trust. He has 5 straight tournaments where he has gained strokes putting. Even at the Travelers that he won prior to the break, gained 6 strokes there. This dude's in the best form of his career. I'm not sure if he ever has a run like this where he has 3 wins in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tournaments and 2 seconds. So in 7 tournaments, this dude has Tour Championship's kind of strange, but he fucked everyone up there too. So I make DJ a little shorter than this. I think he is the absolute favorite. There's a head-to-head that I'm going to bang as well, and we'll talk about that shortly. But that's my guy up top.
No. I don't disagree. I think DJ is the guy up top. I'll tell you what. Matthew Wolf's rise has been quite...
Meteoric? Is that a word?
I was just about to mess it up like you did. Meteoric. Yeah. Like a meteor. Man, it's shot up. Like, it's amazing. So I'm kind of excited about him.
Check this shit out. The PGA, the dude gained 7.5 off the tee and 7.5 on approach. That's fucking four. That's 15 strokes gained ball striking. That's wild. That has to be one of the highest numbers all year.
Yeah.
6.5 strokes gained at the Shriners last week, 7.1 at the US Open, gained putting in both. So he's putting better, which has always kind of been his bugaboo. And even then, around the green, which the dude looks like, the way he chips is fucking strange, but I mean, he makes it work. He's gaining in 4 straight around the green. Obviously, it's a killer off the tee. That's my other guy. I'm not going to lie. I'm the 23 and a half is what I'm looking at. I don't have much value. Let me see. What is bookmaker having that? Two to one. So 23, I don't have much value there. Like I probably make it actually like 25 in this field, but I just don't want to miss out on this one.
Right. Well, that definitely makes sense.
Why is Xander priced here?
Because the public, like the bag is out basically. It's like, you know, it's like, it's, you know, it's the cat's out of the bag, bro. Everybody knows this guy is good, but he doesn't exactly close at the rate. Although Rory's still up here and he hadn't been closing either.
He's 2 8s in a row, but I mean, it's still, I mean, can we agree that Rory's a better golfer than Xander?
Your boy Colin fell off last week. What the hell was that?
Talk about Colin. It might be. We're going to talk about Colin. Don't worry, poor Colin. I mean, Rory at 12 or Xander at 14. I mean, that's just a fucking no brainer to me. I don't really understand why those guys are even with Rory falling off. Last three events, 12th, 8th at the Tour Championship, which, you know, you got to take that for what it's worth, considering the starting strokes thing, and then 8th at the U.S. Open. Like, as bad as he was, he still got 8th at the U.S. Open. So, I mean, you know, you're looking at Xander. He got 5th at the U.S. Open, 2nd at the Tour Championship, but he hasn't gained more than 1.1 strokes on approach in his last 6 times out, dude.
So you auto bet Rory with the head to head?
We're gonna have to look at that. What is it?
No, Don. Let me look at that.
Let me look. I had some baseball stuff up.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I'm gonna fucking bang that over in that game. Hang on a second.
Where we're at? Colin. Tony.
We're going to talk about Colin. I got some Colin thoughts.
No, I'm just going through the tournament head-to-heads they have listed.
Oh, yeah.
DJ Rory is... it's DJ McIlroy.
Yeah, you can't get Rory X. They won't. They know better.
Sometimes. That's the thing. Sometimes.
No, sometimes, yes. they'll fucking put them in the outright market the same, and then they won't even give you the head-to-heads because they know what's going to happen.
I don't even... Well, this is on this site. I don't see a Xander matchup. Oh, Xander Wolf. Ah, there you go.
Oh, hello.
I think Wolf is a big...
Is Wolfie a dog?
Wolf is...
Oh, Wolf's a huge dog. I'm betting that.
There you go. See?
Yeah, that'll be a bet.
Okay, what about Wolf?
Well, I'm going to have a fucking... I'm going to have an outright head-to-head card that's going to be 20 guys if you keep talking, bro.
I think I may be banging this one, Wolf over Cantlay. I think last week was I don't see it. Like just the guy just turning it around. Like he's had a mediocre year, and Wolf is just on fire.
Listen, Xander and Cantlay are the two most mispriced week in and week out outright guys in the entire field, dude.
Alert! Alert!
These guys. Oh, here we go. No, are we dropping the? Is this?
Do we have an alert? Do we have an alert drop? I don't remember having an alert.
I thought this was a DJ. I thought this was a rant.
Oh, are you about to rant? I mean, I can drop.
I'm just gonna say. It's too early for rants, bro. It's not even lunchtime yet. Xander and Cantlay, bro. Like these guys. Cantlay has one win, like a real win. He won the Shriners, obviously. And that's like the only good course he plays well on. He won the Memorial, and everyone thinks this guy's like the fucking next Jack Nicklaus or something. He's at 22-1 or shorter every single week. Xander's at 15 or shorter every single week, despite the fact that these guys haven't shown any kind of ability to close a real golf tournament recently. And again, I understand that winning is variance and to a certain extent, but at the same time, when you're pricing these guys around dudes who are just better, like I just don't understand. It's just crazy to me.
Okay. Let's go with that. I think that finishes the top of the board.
Yeah.
So we kind of
talk about Morikawa.
We kind of dipped into the head to head. So yeah, let's get a little, let's talk about
Morikawa. God bless you, Morikawa.
This dude is a human now.
Yeah. He's more normal now.
Yeah, he's not a god anymore. He's just a fucking guy. He's missed three of his last 5 cuts.
Is the F word coming out, sir?
What's the F word? Fade? Oh, yeah, we're definitely fade.
Whoa!
I shouldn't say that. The problem is that we don't have a guy that I really want to fade him with. So I just want to break it down, because if you're going to have guys who have more fades available, like at the U.S., the legal books, you know, I'm just going to call them the U.S. books, offshore versus U.S. books, FanDuel, Sportsbook, Points Bet, whatever the fuck it is. The shit that's legal in every state but our state.
Wow.
It's fucking insane. So his game is built around his iron play. I mean, that's what he's one of the best iron players in the entire world. So when his irons start to suck, he will not be successful. Last Last five rounds, lost 4.5 strokes of on approach as Northern Trust after winning the PGA. Makes sense. This is his strokes gained approach. 1, 3.1, 0.3, 2.1. He doesn't do anything well enough other than hitting his irons to be able to overcome that kind of poor iron play. And here's the thing, man. The dude's a rookie still. Like, let's just be real. This time last year, he was just getting his feet wet on the PGA Tour, right?
Yeah.
So what we have to look at is the fact that this guy played in every single event after the suspension at an extremely high level. I mean, we're talking ninth at the we're talking second at the Schwab, and then obviously he won the Workday and he won the PGA. I mean, he was probably after the PGA the best player post suspension, right? The dude is still young, man. That takes a lot of mental effort to grind week in and week out in contention. And you're seeing a big drop off here, right? And you're seeing a miscuts. You're seeing a 20th at the BMW where he didn't do anything well. Then you're seeing two straight miscuts at the US Open to the Shriners. Then he should have been fine at both those tournaments. Like, there's no reason for you to miss the cut of the fucking Shriners, bro. Like, what the fuck is that? So this is where I'm just going to ride him. The problem is we have a Decky thing going on.
Yeah, I was just about to mention this. Decky. I do have. Oh, I got it. Oh, my gosh. I think this may be Otto. Colin versus Tony Finau, I found.
Oh, really? Is Finau almost died last week.
Man, listen.
Yeah, I have that too. I'll take that. I would definitely bet that. I didn't know Finau was going to stay in this field. That was the thing. I saw him in here, but
okay. Well,
COVID.
If he goes.
Yeah, if he falls. Like, Finau and Trump, dude, they got some magic fucking shit that they need to give everyone else. Like, these dudes get COVID, and the next day they're out there fucking on the campaign trail, and they're out
I'm
there
confused.
Golf balls.
I'm confused.
I don't get it, dude. Finau, of all people to get COVID, by the way, is like, I mean,
they got the, not funny, hey, kind of funny. They have the Magic Johnson version of COVID.
Yeah, seriously. They've ever seen that South Park where they're fucking Magic's on the South Park and he's got like this fucking machine that's just pumping money into his veins and that's like the cure for AIDS. Like,
what the fuck is Bro, that? I just remember the greatest line was Kanye West. He's like, You telling if my aunt was in the NBA right now, she would be okay?
That's true.
Bro. That's the line right there, bro.
Yeah, I love it. So, I mean, Finau, this golf course should fit in well. I mean, as long as he's not fucking coughing on people, he should be fine. Decky, talk about Decky, bro. Like, this guy, I would like to, you know, fade my son. Unfortunately, I'm going to have a talk with him. But Decky's just not good. Like, he's not a very good putter.
That was funny. That was about redundant thing you've said all year. Decky is not a good putter. No, he's not a good putter.
How are these guys missing the cut of the Shriners? I don't understand.
You know what? The Shriners, you know, has a lot of distractions.
Oh, so you think Colin's like fucking on the? You think Colin and Decky are on the strip getting after it?
Did you know that Decky's got a baby? Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Well, I think his kid's like 3 now, but I don't think anybody really knows this guy as a dad. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Jesus,
it's pretty crazy.
A good dad.
Okay. Let's see here. Is there anything else?
There's a lot more.
All right, I'm listening.
Terrell Hatton, he's probably has to stop drinking in 48 hours.
Ooh, Otto Fady?
Oh yeah. Right, that's a big bet for me. That's my biggest bet. And we're just gonna work in head to heads with these outrights because that's the easiest way to do it in my opinion. Yeah, I grabbed Daniel Berger at -103 for 2 units.
Daniel Berger, and so your local has
Berger Hatton. Yeah, it's widely available. BetOnline has it too.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, all these are always widely available. And then here's the thing: if you have another one, I don't go over what FanDuel and DK and all those fuckers are offering because I don't bet them, and therefore it's a waste of my time. And I would do it if I had a reason, but I don't. So if you have these matchups and you have these guys we're telling you to fade, and you have a different matchup, you can either kind of, you know, take what we tell you and just kind of, you know, make some conclusions, or just DM us and I'll let you know if I would bet it or not.
Yeah, anytime. Baby.
All time. What's that?
I said, yeah, baby.
Yeah. So we got two Hatton matchups. We got Hatton Berger. Fuck, he's even money. No, I'm going to bet him even money. Never mind. He's even money at BetOnline. And then we have an interesting one. This does work well into another guy in this field that I will have a bet on an outright market. Brooks Koepka. I will bet Brooks Koepka this week.
So you think he's... You're going to bet him to do what?
To win the golf tournament. He's 45-1. What the fuck in the world? I mean, I get that his leg is like falling off, but like Brooks Koepka at 45-1.
Okay. So
that's just insane.
If that's the case, then you should be hammering Koepka over Haddon as a dog?
Here's the problem with that, though.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So these are two different analyses, right? So, like,
I'm going to make a drop Kepka for ceiling. Caveat Central.
Kepka's ceiling is winning a golf tournament. His floor is... right? So that's the... The analysis isn't just... Because I would bet him outright, I have to bet him in the head-to-head market. Because again, in the head-to-head market, I want a high floor. I want a guy who I know is going to shoot four rounds under par this week. And we don't know what the fuck we're getting from Kepka. Kepka's best game is the best player in the world. Kepka's worst game is he fucking can't swing the golf club. So I'm a lot less likely to bet him against Haddon. I might take a little piece, especially if it gets in like the plus 30s, which was right now.
Oh, you know what? We actually talked about this a couple podcasts ago. So is Kepka someone that you would place, you know, whatever, a tenth of a unit wager on to win and fade in head to heads?
No, okay. I'm not going that far. But only because, I mean, I'm not.
DJ was on that track for a while.
You basically it's called a Polish middle. It's not happening.
But
I just stay away.
I don't know. I mean,
because you can still play well and get second, and you fucking
lose. But you know, some of those guys are—they're either up there. Like, I just think if the guy he's going against has a high floor, then I think it actually has value, especially on an unknown. We don't know how much he's been playing. Like, it makes sense. Like, you're getting a quality guy at 45, but. What are the odds? The odds are he's going to come in and kind of get a check. That's what the odds are. Yeah. So, and I know that Berger, form-wise, is playing better. You know what I'm saying? So that's I'm just trying to, you know, kind of show people our process, well, my process and handicap and stuff like this. I know what he's capable of. I also know what the likelihood is that he's going to come in here, get a check, and roll out. And
dippity.
Especially, you've seen these guys in these tournaments, like these limited field tournaments. Mm-hmm. If they're not in contention, they're just kind of like, let's get out of here.
No, you're right. But here's the other thing, though, is the I will say about Brooks, and the reason why I don't mind him in this matchup is that he needs fucking reps. And he needs reps that are like, I need you to start to play well reps. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go into Augusta with a shitty fucking, you know, previous 3 months. You want to go in there with some kind of momentum, some kind of good form. So I think he's going to take this shit seriously or he just wouldn't be here. I get the collecting check thing. He WD from the fucking US Open. Like if he was hurt, he just wouldn't be here. So I think he's healthy and he needs reps before Augusta. He's going to play this time. He might play maybe, I don't know. There's a couple other, maybe he'll play in Sherwood next week, something like that. And then, you know, shut it down and be ready. But I think he needs reps. And again, at his peak, he is a top three golfer in the world. So I don't know if I'm on the back of Verstappen, but I definitely am going to have an outright on him. And at the same price, Daniel Berger at 44. I mean, I'll bet him outright and against Haddon. I make him like 25 in this golf tournament. So I think those are my two favorite bets by far, outright wise.
You know, I have one that kind of piques my interest, and it seems like I may go two units. Tootster.
Oh, the Tootie.
Over Shane Lowry.
You know, it's funny when you type in fucking Toot and you're trying to find a golfer and it doesn't come up because his name's not fucking Toot. Toot over Lowry, -120 I'm seeing.
Yep.
Why don't we get it? Well, let's keep going down the board. We'll get into some of those longer ones at the end. Is that cool?
Go ahead.
Because what do you think of Sungjae at 30-1 this week? That's kind of weird. That's a really short number on a guy who hasn't shown a whole lot recently.
Yeah, but he did show up a bit last week. It's, you know, these odds are very much kind of a recency bias kind of deal. I'm not in. Honestly, I'm only betting like two guys pre. If someone kind of that I like is trending upwards, I could get something, but I'm not betting a whole bunch. Are you talking about which as far as head to heads?
No, he's 30-1 to win the golf tournament. I think that's just a little wild. Like, why is he 30 and like, you know, a guy like Berger or, I mean, even, you know, Haddon just won, you know, Morikawa has shown, I don't know. I just feel like he should be higher. He should be like the 50s.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, Sanjay is meh for me. I'm not.
Here's my next question for you is a guy like Fleetwood 35, Fitzpatrick 43, obviously Hatton. These guys coming from Europe, you know, and they're not going to like, you know, the East Coast. They're coming basically all the way to the West Coast, out to Vegas. How are you factoring in that kind of travel? Like, and again, there's probably no statistical basis for any of this, but I mean, shit, it probably sucks to have to fly. Fuck, that's a long ass flight, right? So what do you do?
I think they're just coming to get reps. Like, I don't think they're really into it. And when's the last time I seen Tony Fleetwood on TV? I guess you have to wake up at 4 to see him on the European tour. I think they're just coming over here to get adjusted for the Masters. I don't see them really showing up. Hopefully, you know, you can find some names. Like, sometimes you just want to, when you're looking at these head-to-heads, you just want to look for a name that's not playing well.
Yeah, let's talk about Fleetwood real quick. He's lost strokes on approach in 6 of his last 7 on the PGA Tour, including 3 missed cuts, a 59th and a 44th. Driving the ball decent, randomly putting okay, but we know that can fade like the fucking wind. So, I mean, a guy who has never won on tour is 35. I just don't get that shit. So how can we take advantage of that? What is Fleetwood's head to head? He's got Hovland. See, this is how you know the fucking outright market and the head to head market do not match up. Hovland, but in every single outright market, Fleetwood is a shorter price.
He's the same on
which is more efficient.
He's the same on mine.
They're the same price.
Yeah, they're on the same line. It's Tony.
Bookmaker has Hovland 45 and Fleetwood 35.
Well, Blake Bookmaker is very generous, sir.
Yeah, and I probably will. Yeah, so anyway, I mean, that's just something to consider there. So I'll absolutely be having, and Fleetwood opened a favorite, by the way. So he's moved to a slight dog, but that's kind of wild. I'm not sure if I will back Hovland in that matchup. I'd like a little better, but that's basically right at where my edge is there. So, but yeah, I mean, those kind of guys, I'm not sure what to do with those European dudes. Did Hovland play over at that tournament last week too?
I definitely didn't see anything about him.
I didn't either. And then, you know, we got like Harris English, Louis, any of these, any long shots coming up, popping for you?
Give me some like
longer shots.
I mean, all right. So I don't know about popping. Let's see. That's a very loose word there. Pop. Corey Connors kind of popped in my model.
Ugh. Okay. How about Bubba?
Not excited.
If this course is supposed to be like Augusta, shouldn't Bubba be a guy everyone's looking at?
The fairways are wide open.
He's gained strokes, ball striking in 4 straight. Actually, 5 straight. Actually, 6, 7, 8 straight.
I guess we're
terrible putter.
I guess we're
let's see who's coming out of the bullpen.
Okay. Bubba in the pen.
Bubba's in the bullpen. Connor's in the bullpen.
What were you doing with Day at 73-1?
Day did not pop in my model.
What did he do? I know he was in the field last week. What did he do? Just shit the bed.
I didn't see him on TV once.
No, me either. Yeah, he missed the cut. These motherfuckers are all missing the cut. The fucking Shriners. Like, get it together.
Yeah.
Fucking Shriners.
Let's see here. Yeah, bro. Scotty Scheff. I mean,
Scheffler.
He's longer. I'm not going to.
He's good. He's long.
Yeah, so I think I may.
That your guy. Okay.
So
Bubba's probably my favorite, really. But I told myself I'd never bet Bubba again, so I don't know why the fuck I always come back to this fucking idiot.
Yeah, chill out on Bubba, dog, just for a minute. I mean, I'll tell you what, this has probably been one of his more consistent years.
Yeah, consistently losing me fucking money, sure. you know what's interesting is Louis Oosthuizen, man. This dude's gain strokes on approach in like 7 straight. Obviously a wonderful round, you know, short game. He's never won on the PGA Tour, unless you count the British Open, but I don't. I like him. I
really like him. I can be sold. I can be closed on Louis.
What do we got for a little matchup with Oosty? Oosty is a huge dog to Scheffler. I don't know if that's right.
Bubba is 18th in my model, so actually not bad, actually.
Yeah, I make Scheffler like -120, and a little value on Oosty there, a little value there.
Find some. Sometimes they misprice top 20s in this thing, so that's where I would kind of focus my money.
Okay.
Guarantee yeah, 4 rounds.
Absolutely.
Anybody just a pop? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wait, what did you say?
I'm saying. That's where I would focus my money, because if somebody just like pops on Sunday, like they're just hanging around, like, you know, whatever, 22nd and third, you know.
Exactly.
And think about it. Like, there's 68 guys. There's like five guys who you've never heard of because they're Korean. And then there's Jordan Spieth, who fucking sucks. And so you really only have to beat like around 60 guys. And that's, you know, if you're in the top third, guess what? Boom, top 20.
Yeah, 100%.
They haven't priced it yet. That's interesting.
I might get Sergio in for a top 20.
He's been hitting, he's been playing well. How about, let's see Sergio's matchup. But ooh, Harris Inglis, not
excited about that one, my friend.
Here we go. The one thing that has been making us the by the way, that burger bet over Hatton is a 2-unit bet for me. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. The other 2-unit bet I have, and let's just get into it now. We have the man that keeps giving us money week in and week out for years on years on years. It's been like 2 years now. They are starting to give us really shitty golfers against him, which kind of sucks. And this week is probably the worst golfer we've seen against him. So it's not as exciting as it has been. But I found something that makes me like him anyways. I'm not a Cam Smith guy, but he is going up against the one and only Jordan Spieth, who is only here because he has a fucking small, he got exempt into it because of his name. And you're going to have to lay some juice. I'm seeing minus 130s across the board on Cam Smith. Okay, minus 138. But we're still getting Jordan Spieth. And anytime we can get Jordan Spieth on a golf course, we want to bet against him, right?
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the fact that driving isn't a premium here. But if you're just going off the fact that this guy is
terrible,
I would much more prefer him in a cut event.
Okay.
Possible. I hate the fact that he's going to get four rounds and that random spike round is going to be in there. So, I mean,
he randomly makes like every putt and gains like eight putt strokes putting.
Yeah. Now, with that being said, how many times does that happen?
Well, I don't know, because he's lost strokes putting in five straight.
Okay. So there you go. That's kind of what you're leaning toward then.
Yeah. And when you're looking at Cam Smith, you got a guy who's gained on approach in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of his last 8. Putting well, obviously Cam Smith is absolutely terrible off the tee. So is Jordan, but we're definitely going to be looking to fade Jordan in some head to head, some round by round head to heads. And I'm going to take him for two. I'm going to take Cam Smith for 2 units over him here.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all. That's all I have.
Is that pretty much it for betting?
Well, no, I haven't completely diagnosed these head to heads yet, but in terms of
things that pop,
I'm most likely going DJ, Wolf, Brooks, and Berger.
I am definitely in concert with you on that. DJ, Wolf, Berger. Maybe as far as I may have a few baby bombs.
No bomb.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
I think I may throw Sergio when this guy's hitting it well. He does have a little bit of, it's one thing you can't handicap is confidence. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen,
putting with your eyes closed.
Hey, bro, I'm telling you, you should try it. No,
I tried it. I couldn't hit a putt. I missed every putt I looked at.
Just
not different than normal. So, dude, Sergio's turning into like an elite driver of the golf ball. This is wild.
He used to be. Oh my gosh, Sergio was so beautiful.
Fucking amazing off the tee.
Yeah, so maybe Sergio and Chef as far as a little bit down the board.
Okay.
As far as I'm going.
Sergio's a huge dog to Harris Inglis. Are we sure that's not wrong? I have Inglis super high, though.
Yo, let's see.
I mean, I make them basically both of them even.
Okay.
Oh, man, that might be a bet. I don't think Sergio should be a big dog to Harris Inglis.
No, not right now, for sure.
Not right now. That's probably a bet. I'm going to take Sergio against Inglis for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Inglis hasn't really... I make them basically pick them. Like, I make them plus 100 across the board. So if we're getting 117, we're getting a nice little edge there.
Okay.
Cool. Love that.
Anything else that is popping off at you?
Oh, yes, there is actually.
Okay.
Hole in one?
No.
Yes.
Oh, because of the 154? So I can knock a pitching wedge in there?
Do you know what would you make the number? Remember, it was a smaller field. But it's only a smaller field for the first 2 rounds, right? Because after the cut, it's basically the same. So you basically are getting a third less of a chance. But so.
Oh, it's more in this time. Well, you get more of a chance because a little bit. It's like maybe 8% more. So yeah, I don't know. I'd make it plus 110 or something for a yes.
A no?
For yes.
No, the no.
I'd make yes one plus 110.
Plus 200 for a yes.
Ah, that's not bad. For everybody having a pitching wedge.
Yeah, on that one hole. I mean, they're just gonna throw some fucking darts into that shit, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the no is minus 260, and coming back on the yes is plus 200.
Yeah, I like
that's
it.
That's like one of my favorite bets.
Yep. Okay. Hold on. I mean, oh my gosh, you forgot to tell me, bro.
Hole in one.
Oh God.
Will or will there not be?
Oh, number
he 17, said yes.
Like 150. So it's going to be like they're hitting fucking knockdown gap wedges and that shit. So that's perfect.
All right.
Anything else? That was fucking good. We gave the people a lot of info in that one.
That was pretty scrumdiddlyumptious.
Tuesday mornings. I don't know.
All right. Is that it?
That's it, buddy.
All right. With that being said, that was... I mean, I'm really happy. That was a nice, we had a nice little morning pod right there.
Yeah, I'm hungry now.
All right. That being said, like, subscribe, share. Thank you guys so much.
You have a single right now?
I got a single dropping.
Right now?
Right now, baby.
World exclusive.
So honestly, listen, y'all, for real, I want, you know, send me a trash or fire emoji. If my stuff is good, I'm serious. I got some big news dropping right around Masters Week.
Mm-hmm.
So
come to Vegas with us.
Come to Vegas with us. Hang out with me. Yo, I'm serious. Fire or trash emoji for my stuff. That being said, me and Jay, we out.
Peace out.
My girl just left, now she on her way. Got her to leave, but I'm noticing she got a habit of leaving stuff at my place. She don't think I see, but I know she brings bonnets and panties, she even left her toothbrush. I'm starting to think that she is doing too much. She leaving hints, and I am picking them up. Getting ideas of being way too booed up. So we was getting closer. I enjoy just getting to know her. She said she was 3 months sober. Last relationship, no closure. She's been riding on my coattails. My boy thinks that she is homeless. She gonna relapse. Cause I ain't tryna make the shade room. She text you 12 damn times since noon. She gonna relapse. I ain't tryna make the shade room. She gonna relapse. She text you 12 damn times since noon. Yeah.